It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 88 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. Today we got an exciting episode covering the new Alpha Class Starwing expansion.
Yeah, it's been some time since FFG released any kind of spoiler or new product information, so it was really cool to see this article go up, and then it was even more cool to see all the cool new upgrade cards and pilot cards coming in this expansion.
Yeah, this ship is all about choices. You can go for a very cannon-heavy loadout, or give it a lot of missiles and torpedoes. A lot of different ways to build the ship, so it should be pretty interesting to talk about.
Yeah, so let's get to it. So this new article about the Starwing was chock full of new information. We actually, I think, learned almost everything about this expansion at this point. We know its dial, we know all the pilot cards, I think we know all the upgrade cards at this point. So let's start by looking at that dial, because that's kind of the most important part of any X-Wing ship.
Yeah, first look, this is definitely an upgrade from the K-Wing, which is the previous ship with the slam action. And the K-Wing showed that even with a very limited dial, you could get quite a significant amount of mobility just based off that slam action, giving you a second maneuver. Very powerful. Really takes a very limited dial and opens it up. And the Alpha Class Starwing, I wouldn't say it has that limited of a dial. So with slam, it's going to have a lot of options.
Yeah, this is a pretty strong dial even without slam. We've got one banks and one straight. We've got all the normal two-speed maneuvers. We've got all the normal three-speed maneuvers and a four red straight. We are missing out on any K-turns or S-loops here, but the one straight is green as well as the two straight and two banks.
Yeah, and even just on the greens, that's, I think, an upgrade there. Having multiple options at speed two, which with a slam ship, you really want to be taking those speed maneuvers that give you that full range. So for the K-Wing, it was just the speed twos to have access to the turn, the bank, and the straight. And it was really a limitation when you got stressed to need to do that two straight specifically to have access to your two bank and two turn slams. Now, the Starwing has access to that two bank. So even with stress, it can take a two bank and then slam into a two turn, giving it quite a bit of flexibility in where that arc is going to end up, which is important because this is an arc ship without a turret. So it really does need to land that arc in the right place.
Yeah, it just makes it a lot less predictable when it does get stressed. That is a problem the K-Wing has, is it becomes suddenly so predictable because a two straight leading into just a standard two maneuver, you can kind of gauge. But if you're going to veer off left or right, suddenly you have a lot more mobility there. Just having the option of going to the left bank and then a two hard turn versus a right bank and a two hard turn, those are very different final positions.
Now, it doesn't have any green maneuvers in the three speed, which I think is fine because being able to threaten the full range of slam options from a two speed as well as a three speed is going to make it very difficult for your opponent to anticipate this ship.
Yeah, this ship has a lot of flexibility thanks to that three turn and the slam action. The K-Wing could move pretty fast given its three straight and three banks, but having access to that turn just gives you so much more versatility in where you're going to end up, like being able to do three bank to the right and then three hard turn to the left, so you're set up well for the next turn. That's a great option there. We also have that four straight red, which is not a great maneuver, except that it does give you access to a full cruise missile if need be, getting up to the five attack dice from the four speed maneuver.
Right, and then going back to the improved greens on the two-speed maneuvers, that makes taking that four-red maneuver to set up a cruise missile not too detrimental the following turn.
Going back to the chassis of this ship, we talked about this during the initial spoiler articles for Wave 12, but we've got the Alpha-class Starwing, which is a two-attack dice, two-agility dice ship with four hull and three shields, so seven hit points total. And its actions bar has focus, target lock, slam, and reload.
So reload is an action that is going to give your ship the weapons disable token, but it allows you to turn all discarded missile or torpedo cards face up.
These ships also have an upgrade bar with a built-in torpedo or missile, as well as the two named pilots and the pilot skill 4 generic having an elite pilot talent slot. But that upgrade bar doesn't end there. Both of the title configurations that come with this ship allow you to expand it in different ways, which we'll get to in a bit here.
All right, first let's just cover the name pilots. We got Lieutenant Karsabi at pilot skill 5, who reads, When you receive a weapons disabled token, if you are not stressed, you may receive one stress token to remove it. And now this ship can get weapons disabled tokens from both slamming and the reload action, so you're probably going to use those abilities a lot. And it's pretty nice to just be able to remove a weapons disabled token so that you can attack with either your primary weapons or any of those equipped missiles or torpedoes.
Yeah, I will say this ability does seem to kind of run counterintuitive to the synergies you're getting from the two title cards we're going to talk about. But yeah, being able to get rid of that weapons disabled and open up your attack there, say if you have a really high point costed cannon, that seems like a pretty good value.
Yeah, and as we stated before, I don't think stress is going to be that bad on this ship. Obviously, if you get more than one stress token, then it's going to really limit your options.
But that's bad for most ships.
Right. And then at pilot skill 7, we have Major Widener, who reads, when defending, if you have a weapons disabled token, roll one additional defense die.
This is actually a, I think, really strong ability, given that the synergies coming from the title cards assume that you're already going to have weapons disabled tokens. Being able to add on to your defense makes this already pretty nimble ship that much stronger.
Right. When I first saw the ship with the two agility, my initial instinct was, oh, let's put lightweight frame on it. That'll be great. But as this is not a TIE fighter ship, you can't quite put lightweight frame on there. So getting that extra defensive boost from Major Widener's pilot ability, I think, is going to be pretty great.
Yeah, and I mean, it's got a reasonably durable chassis at 7 hit points for how relatively inexpensive it is. So having that extra agility dice is just going to make it that much stronger.
Now, those abilities are great. You are paying a bit of points for them. Major Widener's 8 more points than the pilot skill 2. But I think with these munitions and the mobility, I think you will value the higher pilot skill to both just set up your ideal target lock range as well as having that flexible repositioning with the slam action.
And I think having the reload action on there makes keeping these ships alive that much more valuable, just because you have the potential to fire off a torpedo 3 or 4, maybe 5 times in a game. So having a ship that's that much more durable, I think, is probably worth the extra point investment if you've got room for it in your squad.
I mean, looking at Major Widener, if he slams to disengage and uses, say, advanced slam to take a focus action, you're going to have 3 defense dice backed up by a focus token. That's pretty good for a munitions carrying ship.
We've also seen both of the generic pilots for this ship coming in at pilot skills 4 and 2. At pilot skill 4, we have the Rogue Squadron Veteran, who has an elite pilot talent and comes in at 21 points. And then the lowest pilot skill, New Squadron Pilot, comes in at 18 squad points and has no elite pilot talent.
Yeah, so these ships are costing a little bit more than a TIE Bomber for a pretty comparable stat line. You get one more hit point, but you also get the reload and slam actions, which I think are pretty important, but at the trade-off of less upgrade options, that is, until you equip the titles.
Given that these ships are secondary weapon or ordnance carrying ships, it's hard not to compare them to like the baseline TIE Bomber. And while I think these actually fill in a different role than the TIE Bomber fills, the loadout really makes the value here, right? So TIE Bombers are actually okay vessels for carrying maybe 1 or 2 torpedoes and extra munitions to get a strong alpha strike off. But these guys have the ability to deal damage over time. They almost function as ordnance carrying flankers, where they're relatively inexpensive even when they're loaded out. But it's a threat your opponent can't ignore because thanks to the reload action, those torpedoes and missiles are just going to keep coming back.
All right, so let's talk about the configurations.
Yeah, so in the initial spoiler, we saw the XG-1 assault configuration spoiled, but we got a new configuration in this article, the OS-1 Arsenal loadout, which reads, Alpha Class Starwing only title. Your upgrade bar gains the torpedo and missile upgrade icons. You may perform attacks with torpedo and missile secondary weapons against ships you have locked, even while you have a weapons disabled token.
Wow, that's pretty good. I mean, I'm not sure the ship needs more torpedoes and missiles, but that's nice. But the ability to perform those torpedo and missile attacks with a weapons disabled token, very powerful. You can slam in, get into a really great munition range from well outside of perceived combat, and still have that opportunity to set up a munitions attack. Perhaps use advanced slam to get you an action to modify and then set up a munitions attack.
Yeah, the advanced slam combo here is pretty great, especially given that wide variety of quick moves you have at the speed 3. Being able to like bank three and then hard turn in and then use advanced slam to get the target lock you need so you can still fire that ordnance in spite of having a weapons disabled tokens. Really cool. I think this would be a good time to point out that they actually kind of snuck in a wording change on Advanced Slam. So we have an updated version coming in this expansion that's different than the version that came with the K-Wing initially. The new version reads, modification, after performing a slam action, if you did not overlap an obstacle or another ship, you may perform a free action on your action bar.
Right, so that's going to get rid of all of the bomb dropping actions after slamming.
Obviously, that doesn't have really any implication here for the Starwing, but it has a strong implication for the K-Wing, which using Advanced Slam to drop bombs after you slam was kind of a central part of what a lot of people use that ship for. So presumably, this is going to be a change we'll see in an upcoming FAQ, and that's going to presumably have some wide-sweeping effects on how bombs function in the game.
But back to the Arsenal loadout. I mean, slamming's not the only way you can get those weapons disabled tokens. That reload action now looks really powerful in combination with the Arsenal loadout, where you can just equip one munition, say a proton torpedo, fire it off, then the following turn, reload that thing, and you're ready to go again. Now, it is worth specifying that you have to have that target locked to fire that munition, but if you're using cards like cruise missile or harpoon missile or homing missile, which don't require spending that target lock to use the munition, you could just take that initial target lock and keep firing that munition turn after turn.
Well, and I think actually Push the Limit is a reasonably good upgrade card on this ship, being able to get the action efficiency you need where you can take that reload action and then push the limit to get a target lock you need. As we talked about before, having access to those two green banks and then being able to slam into another two-speed maneuver, including a two hard turn, that's a really strong combo. And it allows you to reposition, move that arc around, and still be able to fire turn after turn.
Right, and usually when we say a ship is a good push limit ship, we're not talking about ships with four green maneuvers. But with that slam action, I think you're not going to be that limited on your mobility. And pushing now off of the reload action looks great. I think, yeah, definitely if you're considering that Arsenal loadout, push limit looks really good to be able to set up those powerful munitions turn after turn.
Now, one thing I will say, since we do have the reload action on there, with the Arsenal loadout, we have access to two torpedo slots and two missile slots. But I don't think extra munitions is probably the direction you want to go on this ship, because I think extra munitions is more for Alpha Strike build.
Yeah, I think with this Arsenal loadout, you really want to give yourself options and make sure that your munitions are able to strike an opponent at whatever range from them you land. So I would try to have either something like a proton rocket or cluster missiles that can work well at close range, and then something like a harpoon missile or plasma torpedo that are pretty effective long range, so that wherever my slamming takes me, I'll have ammunition I can use.
Well, and I think, and I could be wrong on this, but I think if you're inclined to go the extra munitions route, I would rather at that point, if you're investing a similar point cost, go with the Gamma Squadron Veteran TIE Bomber, where you can throw Deadeye on there, and that's only 20 points plus whatever ordnance you put on there. And you have got modification from a 0-point guidance chips, and that's my preferred Alpha Strike venue. I think really the Starwing is more about kind of flanking with that ordnance and being a threat off to the side while maybe a larger threat looms near your opponent.
Right, and I think when we talk about it giving you the extra torpedo and missile slots, you're really not going to utilize all four of those slots. But I think it's nice to be able to have missile-missile or torpedo-torpedo, so it just gives you more flexibility in how you're upgrading it. Because with that reload action, each additional munition you take is going to have pretty diminishing returns. Yes, you can reload them all at once, but the impact for points you're going to get on each of those is going to be diminished, because this thing does still only have 7 hit points with 2 agility. While you can get kind of infinite munitions with the reload action, their limit is really the survivability of the ship, so you don't want to spend too many points on it.
I think we do have to mention, since the Arsenal loadout gives you a second missile slot, this ship actually does have access to unguided rockets, which is kind of your infinite recurring cheap missile option. generally kind of replaces, I guess, a primary weapon value on ships like a TIE Bomber. I don't think that's a good choice here, especially since you have access to the XG-1 assault configuration for some interesting cannons. The value on unguided rockets just doesn't seem very strong on the Starwing.
No, it can turn any rocket into infinite rockets, so don't think it needs the unguided ones.
There is an ordnance-related elite pilot talent card that comes with this expansion, the Saturation Salvo, coming in at 1 point. This elite pilot talent reads, and it's going to take me a second here because the text is long and a little bit unintuitive at first.
It's a good thing you're reading it because I haven't read it yet because it was just too much text.
you got a couple words in and stopped. This card reads, after you perform an attack with a torpedo or missile secondary weapon that does not hit, each ship at range one of the defender with an agility value lower than the squad point cost of the torpedo or missile upgrade card must roll one attack die and suffer any damage or critical damage rolled. Wow.
Yeah, so I wouldn't spend too much time trying to figure out how that works, because in the same way that we talked about how munitions failsafe wasn't a great card previously, this falls into the sort of the same vein where you really don't want to invest points in good things to happen when your munitions miss. It's much more beneficial to just make sure they hit the first time.
Well, and I have a couple of problems with this card. I don't think it's going to be a strong choice competitively. I think kind of the effect is intended to break up swarms of ship. Even in the art, it looks like a TIE swarm is being blown to pieces, but TIE swarms haven't been a strong competitive choice for a little while now, and thanks to cards like Harpoon Missiles, it doesn't seem like they're coming back anyway. I also don't like the design of this card in that it is kind of unintuitive. Like, there's so much here going on. You have to check the defense value of the ship compared to the point cost of your torpedo, and you also must miss with the attack for it to trigger. And then even if it does trigger, it might not do any damage. There's a 50-50 chance that each roll on each ship doesn't do any damage. And all at the cost of the already very valuable elite pilot talent slot, I don't think this card is worth it.
I agree. But I think overall, the Arsenal loadout does look pretty exciting. I'll just be using Push the Limit instead of Saturation Salvo.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners. Time for a quick Patreon update. We put out last week's episode, and I totally realized after the fact that we had not announced our Patreon raffle prizes for the month of November. So I guess we're going to go ahead and announce those now. We've got two alt art promo cards here to give away. We first up have a Rey alt art card from the most recent World Championships. We also have the double card from the 40th anniversary tournament kit, where it's R2-D2 and integrated astromech in one card there, so you can discard it all at once. Pretty sweet. In order to be eligible for these raffle prizes, you need to be a patron of Radio TCX before the end of this month. So when this episode posts, you've still got about a little under a week left to become a patron. To do that, you can go to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter at any level, and you'll be eligible for next month's raffle. A huge thank you to everyone who's already become a patron of the show. We really do appreciate it, and it does help us produce this content week to week. All right, now back to the cast. So now we know about the Arsenal loadout. We also already learned about the XG-1 assault configuration in the previous spoiler, but now we have info on some new upgrade cards that can synergize with the two cannon slots granted by the XG-1 assault configuration.
Yeah, the XG-1 title reads, Alpha Class Starwing only. Your upgrade bar gains two cannon upgrade icons, and you may perform attacks with cannon secondary weapons that cost two or fewer squad points, even while you have a weapons disabled token, for just 1 point.
Now, this title has a little bit more restrictions than the Arsenal loadout did. Similar effect in that you're performing a secondary weapon attack while you have weapons disabled tokens. Here, that's limited to just your 2 points or lower cannons. I think that's probably a good limitation, because being able to slam and then still fire off a Mangler or even a heavy laser cannon would be pretty upsetting. It'd be hard to avoid.
I would have liked to see ion cannon in there. But perhaps with the mobility, with the slam, being able to repetitively ion cannon somebody might have been just a little too unfun. Perhaps. Perhaps that's what happened there.
So the first new card here we should talk about is Jamming Beam, because in the initial spoiler for Wave 12, we learned about jam tokens, but we didn't learn exactly how those were handed out. So now we've got Jamming Beam, which is a one-point cannon upgrade, three attack dice, range 1-2, and it reads, attack header, attack one ship. If this attack hits, assign the defender one jam token, then cancel all dice results.
This is a cannon you can use with the assault configuration, even while your weapon's disabled. But what does jamming even do? Well, jamming reads, if a ship has a jam token and either a blue target lock, a focus token, or an evade token, you remove the jam token and the ship's controller can choose to remove one of those positive tokens. So either the target lock, focus, or evade token, it's got to go. So jamming's sort of a token denial control. We have stress token control, we have ion token control, we have tractor beam control, and now we have jam token control.
I like the jam token control effect, because I feel like the way X-Wing has gone is a lot of the game has become very dependent on lots of token stacking defensively, which can be really frustrating when you see an opponent's ship with multiple focus tokens or focus and evades. Being able to start manipulating that at a pretty steep cost, given that you're sacrificing an attack to do this, I think that's a new cool angle you can take on control to make your games a little bit more interesting.
Right, and you can kind of defend that you're not sacrificing an attack if you're doing it while you have a weapons disabled token, because you weren't able to attack otherwise. So it gives you a way to positively impact this turn's combat phase without dealing an attack yourself. And if they didn't have any tokens remaining, that jam token will persist until they gain either a blue target lock, focus, or evade token.
You mentioned to me earlier, Carson, it is a little weird, and this is just an aside, but it kind of necessitates now that we get a kind of timing window for when the jam ability is going to resolve. Can you explain kind of what you were imagining?
Right, so if you have a jam token remaining and then go to activate that ship with a jam token, I'm not sure how the timing resolves on ships that are able to gain multiple tokens during an activation. So say you have a TIE Advanced prototype with the TIE V1 title, where when it takes a target lock, it can get a free evade token. I'm not sure if when you take that blue target lock, if that's going to immediately trigger the jam token and remove your blue target lock, or if you have a choice to also get that evade token for free and have the evade token be taken by the jam token.
Yeah, the same kind of scenario comes up with cards like Atani Mind Link, where my understanding, I would guess, is that it'll probably resolve, so you'll be assigned the token initially, and the ability will resolve, and then the jam will happen. But I guess I'm not 100% on that. So that's probably something we're going to have to see in an FAQ update, just so we can clarify when exactly jam triggers.
But that's not a problem we need to solve today. I'm sure there'll be an FAQ released when this is out to clarify those interactions.
I do want to talk about my favorite upgrade card from this expansion so far. Not that I think it's a particularly really good card. I just really like the design of it and how it fits into X-Wing. I'm talking about the Linked Battery Cannon upgrade.
Yeah, so this is a two-point cannon that is small ship only and reads, limited, when attacking with a primary weapon or cannon secondary weapon, you may reroll one attack die.
Okay, simple, really easy to understand here. And I think we can first off talk about it in context of the Starwing. So the assault configuration gives you two cannon upgrades, which is great. And you're not necessarily going to want to throw two completely different cannons on there since you're still only able to attack once per round. But having the combination of both a main cannon and then the linked battery and getting that passive attack dice modification shot after shot seems pretty cool.
I would agree. Passive modification is always a plus. And in a slot that you usually weren't using for passive modification, this feels very similar to Fire Control System, which after you attack, you get a free target lock, which gives you, for the same point value, a way to reroll attack dice. And Fire Control System has been a staple of the game since its release. Linked Battery is comparable there. Obviously, a target lock gives you a bigger dice pool to reroll than just one die per attack. But Fire Control System requires you to be attacking the same target repeatedly, where you can switch your targets with linked battery. And linked battery is going to work on that first turn of combat, which I would say is the most important turn of combat. That's where you can start to begin to get an advantage. And so any early modification there can really compound an advantage throughout the game.
I think this will be pretty good, even on just a low pilot skill 2 new squadron pilot generic with a Mangler cannon or even a heavy laser cannon, the configuration in this upgrade. For the mid to high 20-point range, you can get a pretty strong attack modified by both a reroll from linked battery and then whatever action you took that round. But more than that, I just like the design of this card. So you've got, like you said, Carson, passive attack dice modification, but it's coming from a slot you don't normally expect. Normally, we've seen abilities like this with the Predator Elite Pilot talent at 3 points, as well as the Dengar crew card at 3 points as well. Those are expensive, a little more expensive, and they take up a really valuable slot, so you're generally sacrificing some other options to get those modifications. Here, you're using up a slot you probably weren't going to use anyway, and you're getting a really strong modification for only 2 points. Now, when it comes to this card's application outside of the Starwing, I'm not terribly optimistic about it. It's limited to small ship, and obviously you have to have a cannon upgrade in order to use it. It doesn't seem great on the sick interceptor, where you already have to take heavy sick to get the slot.
Yeah, I'd really love to spend 2 points to get the linked battery for an additional 2 more points on my 2 attack dice 6. That sounds great.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. 4 points for 1 reroll on 2 attack dice, not great. I think where a lot of people's minds, and my mind went right away, I was like, okay, can I fly my B-wings again, finally, using this cannon slot I never use on a B-wing anyway, get some passive modification. Still, I don't think that's a great move. B-wings are a little expensive for the game as it is now, especially with a lot of high damage ordnance coming out there where you can wipe off your expensive B-wing pretty quickly. It is nice that you'd have the option on a B-Wing to run linked battery and advanced sensors instead of having to run fire control system like I normally would. But still, the point cost is so high there. I just don't think the value's quite there yet.
I do think, like in a vacuum, that linked battery B-Wings would be better than fire control system B-Wings.
Yeah, being able to diversify your targets. That's the nice thing about this passive modification is that no matter who you're shooting on, you're getting the modification, whereas fire control system necessitates that you keep the same target in arc the whole time. Obviously, there are other ships with the cannon upgrade slot, but this does not do well on a TIE Defender, where the TIE X7 title strips away your cannon slot, and the TIE D title doesn't do anything since this isn't a normal attack cannon. So you'd be left with just a stock TIE Defender at its normal point cost without any super special abilities for 1 die reroll. Without the point reduction of TIE X7 or the added benefit from the TIE D title, TIE Defenders are just not a good value.
Yeah, and while it might not have great implications for other ships, I would love if it was able to go on large ships and get on my aggressors. I think it will still be pretty solid for the Starwing.
Yeah, I can definitely see myself running a 25 to 30 point Starwing with a pretty sweet damage cannon and this linked battery upgrade. So, okay, Carson, we've got some cool new upgrades here. We've got the 2 different loadouts. I guess the big question is, which loadout do you prefer for the Starwings you're going to fly?
I think initially I'm going to try out the Arsenal loadout, just the front-loaded damage and that threat to keep bringing it back and fire it turn after turn. Seems really solid. I will be intrigued, though, by what sort of control builds you can get from that assault configuration, whether it be tractor beam cannons, jamming beams, or flechette cannons. I think that is an interesting option, but I think initially I'm leaning on the Arsenal loadout. What about you?
As much as I love cannons, that's one of my favorite slots in the game, I'm also kind of leaning towards that Arsenal loadout. Not so much for the high pilot skill named pilots, but I'd like to see running these generics there with some recurring ordnance, which kind of shift. I'm not a huge fan of Alpha Strikes, but I like the idea of running a couple non-Alpha Strikey ships along with this persistent ordnance carrier, just be able to diversify my threats. I love that in X-Wing where I can make my opponent decide, okay, what's the more valuable target here? Who do I need to destroy first? And if I can convince them to shoot at a low pilot skill, relatively inexpensive ship, that'll be a happy day for me. We would love to hear what you think of this new upgrade card, though, so please tweet at us at Radio TCX Podcast on Twitter or post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Radio TCX. We would love to hear your thoughts on this new ship and what loadouts you're going to use. And if you can, convince me that Saturation Salvo is a good card.
Not worth the effort. Before we leave, we do have some other news. The Guns for Hire expansion will be released on October 26th, so the day after this episode drops, which will be pretty exciting. Finally get your hands on the Star Viper and Curex new titles.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to get our hands on a copy from Gen Con 2017, but it'll be awesome to finally be able to use these in official X-Wing tournaments. So we're really excited about that. We also got in this article confirmation that both Waves 12 and Waves 13 are going to be coming together. We're assuming within the next couple months. We haven't gotten official date confirmation there, but I think that was probably kind of the point, get these out before the holidays, which is both exciting and kind of intimidating in that we'll have, you know, five new ships to sort through in the metagame in a very short amount of time. But frequent releases is something we've gotten used to here in X-Wing, so we're looking forward to testing these ships out and sharing our findings with you guys.
We also got the announcement of all of the regional dates for the U.S., which I'm really excited for. Regional season is always a blast. Great big tournaments with really good competition and the chance to travel around to different states, see what each local meta is like. So I think I'm going to be looking to travel around to a few of these. So if you have a cool regional that you know is being hosted locally, let us know. Try and sell us on it. I think we'll try and hit a few of these this season.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see you at the Minnesota Regional, which is coming at the end of January.
Should be a blast.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and liking our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to Goose McCoy, who left us a 5-star review and has been listening to the podcast since the beginning.
Thanks, Goose, and a huge thank you to everyone else who already left us a review on iTunes. It really does mean a lot to us. We appreciate it.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and become a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.